5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to this matchday episode of Pod on the Time. My name's Taylor Payne. Eddie Howe's men are on the road against Wolves today in the 100th league meeting between the two teams. Chris Woff has made the trip to the Black Country for this one, but first let's get into the action.
Whipped in by Barnes and Volta Marda. Should really have done better with that. Touched on by Santi Bueno. Plang and Mane. Straight at Nick Pope. Trippier whips in. And a touch of fortune there as it fell to Jose Sarr.
Just outside that reach of Joe Linton.
This is João Gomez. Now Hugo Bueno. Bueno! Very nearly finishing this first half with a fine flourish. Barnes, Guimaraes, Joe Linton.
Big chance for Joe Linton. Any kind of reasonable contact. I think he puts Newcastle ahead here.
Guimaraes, Barnes.
Wow. Harvey Barnes can't do any more than that. Nobody gambling.
Hugo Bueno. And wide. Well, that was probably the chance in the dying seconds for Bruno Guimaraes.
Are we not entertained? That, apparently, was the 17th 0-0 draw in the Premier League this season, which is more than in the entirety of last season. And Newcastle, I mean, probably must be top of the league, surely, because we've contributed four of those after those early season shutouts against Villa, Leeds and Bournemouth in September, which was also the last time they recorded a clean sheet away from home in the league. And lucky, lucky, Chris, you got to witness it. You truly lead a charmed life, Mr. Woff.
Yeah, I mean, I told everyone how much I was looking forward to this game, spending the weekend down here. And then, yeah, it's been absolutely paying it down all day. I'm walking back to Wolverhampton train station in the pouring rain right now, doing this podcast, having watched and tried not to fall asleep during 90 dire minutes of football. Well, maybe it's 89 dire minutes of football. Maybe there was 1 minute of decent action if you added everything together.
So if that game was a Game of Thrones character, would it be a dire wolf?
I mean, I've never watched Game of Thrones, so...
Right, well, that's totally lost on me.
But yeah,
totally lost on you. But maybe somebody would have laughed at that. Right, let's begin with the most basic of basics. That was truly not a wonderful spectacle. And that surely has to go down as two very big points dropped by Newcastle, doesn't it?
It does. Not only, I mean, there are so many reasons why going into this game you felt Newcastle had to win it. The most obvious of which is that Wolves are bottom of the table and cut adrift. And yes, they've rallied recently lately. I think there's now five games unbeaten in all competitions for them. They've managed to have a bit of a revival under Rob Edwards since he's taken charge. But still, this should have been the sort of side Newcastle, if they're going to start picking up points away from home, that went to Burnley and managed to find a way to win, albeit not most convincing fashion, but they looked dangerous in attack, if susceptible to back. This was sort of neither, the opposite on both counts. They didn't really look like conceding, but nor did they really look like scoring that much beyond a few headers here and there. And I think it's in the context of the games which are upcoming in general in all competitions after this.
Yeah.
Newcastle have got a very difficult run of fixtures over the next few weeks, and it would have been nice to have had, certainly in the Premier League, the away games they've got coming up, if they could have got 3 points here and strengthened their position a little bit in the table. They've lost that opportunity, but also you look longer term and the away fixtures that have to come generally in the Premier League, basically they've got to go to all the places they never win, as we've mentioned before. And so to have dropped two more points on the road here, I think that is a worrying sign for what comes next.
Yeah, as you say, it was kind of familiar in the sense that it was, you know, another away day disappointment, but this time Newcastle sort of finding a way not to win, as opposed to finding new and interesting ways of either winning or losing, as has kind of often been the case away from home. It wasn't a typical kind of away day, though, because Newcastle had a measure of control, which I suppose is kind of unusual. Certainly, it was an extreme version of that. There was this quite sort of niche, a bit of a niche stat from Opta at the end of the first half, that Newcastle had a 94% pass completion rate in the first half, which is the highest by any team in a half of football in the Premier League without recording a shot on target. Well, that goes back to 2003-2004 anyway. And, you know, that didn't change for large parts of the second half either. So, in other words, Newcastle had a lot of the ball, but they did very little with it.
Yes, you know, this point frustrates me a little bit about the quote-unquote control, because generally the more Newcastle have of the ball, certainly away from home, the less they often look like scoring. I think it's 5 of the 7 away games they've had the most possession in this season. They've failed to score and they haven't won any of them. So when Newcastle have a lot of the ball against a low block, it is a sort of constant theme that they just don't know necessarily what to do with it, or don't know how to take advantage of those moments. And so I did ask Eddie Howe about this in the press conference afterwards.
Football's such a strange game, isn't it? You go back a couple of weeks and we score 4 against Leeds, and in that crazy game, and we look free scoring, we look like we can attack and create at any moment. Today was a very different game. The opponent played a very different way, and we struggled to counteract that. And again, it wasn't for the want of trying, and I thought there were some good moments in there. And that last 20 minutes, I thought there was Joey's header, or two headers, Bruno's couple of shots, and some big moments that we didn't take.
Now, I thought Howe was generally in his press conference sort of mixed, and that he tried not to shy away from the fact that that wasn't good enough in attack and that Newcastle need to be more creative. While at the same time, he did try to big up Wolves a little bit and talk about how they're difficult to break down and the likes, and I get that they have been better recently. But at the same time, this is a team which has cut adrift at the bottom of the Premier League, and so I think you can only stretch that argument so far, really.
Yeah, I mean, I think to be fair to Wolves, you know, their position speaks volumes. They have had a bit of an uptick recently, and you could see, I thought, that they were playing with, you know, with organisation and with confidence. They kind of attacked with belief and confidence, I think. So I don't think this was the kind of Wolves of a couple of months ago.
No, and I think on that count, just to put in quickly, Steve Madeley, our Wolves correspondent, kept turning to me when I was all the way through the game just muttering about how dire it was. And he kept saying, oh, I've seen far worse than that as a spectacle this season, which says quite a bit about Wolves' season in general, I think. So
Yeah. And as you say, if you're talking about those sort of bigger picture issues, Newcastle do struggle with teams playing that way, particularly when they know what they're doing. You know, if I can reel off some stats, Newcastle had 66% possession, 12 shots, but no big chances. So therefore, no big chances missed. An XG of 0.88 and only two shots on target. And the thing about that was that both shots on target came at the same time, but not until the 85th minute. And that, you know, that is not that is not good enough. I mean, that is blunt to the point of bluntness.
It is, and both of those chances sort of came from, well, basically the first one certainly comes from Bruno Guimarães, and once he was again shifted deeper, him and Tonali, I mean, that midfield three started again, and you can talk about that control that maybe they brought, but the three of them aren't finding enough ways to help an attack, and that's not just digging out those three, because the team in general are not finding enough ways to create opportunities. But it's Bruno Guimarães, once he's in that deeper position and sort of him trying to rescue Newcastle or drag them into a position where they can win, who forces the first shot, which Sarr saves, and then it goes to Joe Linton, who's a sort of tame, he racks quite quickly, but sort of a tame header back at Sarr. And yeah, there were just too many times Newcastle got in the final third and either just passed it around too much or balls flashed across the box. Howe referenced that a lot. I think he was exaggerating that to a certain extent. I don't think there was tons of them, at least not that I can recall, but there were a few moments where that didn't necessarily happen. Now, it was Nick Voldemarta who started in this game, successive Premier League matches, but Wissa had started the last two in other competitions. I was slightly surprised by that because I thought Voldemarta might have been the one to start against PSV, and that Wissa may have started this one away from home in the Premier League. Is he the answer? I think that we've seen evidence, albeit from a very small sample size so far, that maybe he is. And Voldemarta started, and he had two big chances, and I asked Howe afterwards about why he started Voldemarta, and it wasn't the most revealing answer in the world, I have to be honest.
Yeah, well, that there's no big statement there. It's just a case of, you know, when I played the last two, and I felt that Nick was the one to start this one.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa Welcome Bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus terms and conditions apply.
So, if we go back to that moment, to the start of the match, it was a brilliant cross from Harvey Barnes, wasn't it? And then a glancing header from Walter Marder, but it goes off target. I mean, it's a really poor header. I mean, that should have been an effort on target, if at the very minimum, and it wasn't. As to your point about crosses, it was something that Sky actually highlighted at half time. I mean, not the kind of huge number of them necessarily, but the fact that when Newcastle drove the ball into the box, which they did on occasion, there was nobody there challenging for them. And again, that is a problem with the Nick Voldemarta style of play. Not digging him out. It's difficult to dig him out for being a different kind of centre forward. But I did think that kind of Newcastle improved with Wissa on the pitch, albeit, you know, against tired Wolves legs, having to deal with sort of his pace and his sort of more direct attacking. But again, you know, that kind of Walter Marder equation is still one that has not been solved for Newcastle.
It hasn't, no, but I also don't think, I think the wing situation, I mean, today it's past a year now since Anthony Gordon has scored an open play goal in the Premier League. It's 31 matches. It was since they played Wolves at home in the middle of January last year. And I thought that early on he basically tried to take on his fullback, couldn't get beyond him, and then sort of faded. Harvey Barnes fits in and out, but he's playing on the right when really everyone thinks he's better probably on the left. And yeah, just generally from midfield, I don't think that three offer enough to support, or aren't offering enough at the minute to support both Voltimore but also the general system of way Newcastle are trying to play in. So I think they have structural issues with creativity and how it's asked again. It's become a common theme about whether he thinks Newcastle have enough points of difference in the players that they have in attack in general. And he refuted that and said, yeah, we've got wingers, in the sense that you bring on one winger for a different one. But he talked about Alanga coming on and stretching defence. I actually thought there were moments from Alanga, I know he'd be digged out because he tends to be in general, I thought when he came on, at least he offers a point of difference, at least he stretches defences, at least he runs. I think they have. I think away from home in particular, they just have not found the formula to regularly actually create big chances which they need to take.
As you said, there were the usual array of second-half subs. Miley Alanga and Wissa come on for Tonali, Gordon and Waltimore in the 67th minute. Overall, I don't think you can say that Newcastle played with sort of huge urgency. I mean, again, that was partially to do, I'm sure, with the setup that they were playing against. But it did feel like there was more of it as the game went on, that they ended the game stronger.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And Howe made that point, and he thought that the attacking improved the game one. He wanted them to be quicker on the ball second half, and they probably were. But still, it's still in a relative sense. And maybe Wolves attack. I thought towards the end of the first half, Wolves looked like they were starting to tire. And so that stat you mentioned earlier, the optimistic take on that would have been Newcastle have passed it around a lot, tired Wolves out, and then hopefully in the second half they take advantage of it. But that never really happened. It was never full on backs against the wall for Wolves. There were openings and Newcastle did look more threatening as the game wore on, but you're still just picking out a few actual clear-cut chances that they had, and it's not like Saar's made save after save after save, or Newcastle players have missed sitter after sitter. It just wasn't that sort of game, unfortunately.
On the positive side, Strand Larsen didn't come on and score a 90th minute winner, which was something you'd predicted. I suppose if we're grasping for positives, then Newcastle weren't put under much pressure themselves. Do we take any comfort at all from that clean sheet?
Well, the fact that you can register it as a clean sheet, yes. Beyond that, I think it's difficult to extrapolate too much positivity from a clean sheet against a side who have struggled all season and might have picked up a tiny bit of form now, but still are cut adrift at the bottom of the Premier League, are almost certainly going to be relegated. And I thought that actually in the first half, Wolves did have, similar to Newcastle, had quite a few openings. And then their final ball was lacking. I thought they did actually look quite dangerous, so that did concern me at that point. But yeah, Newcastle rallied and they've kept the clean sheet. But that's the smallest of small mercies if you're trying to really make a strong argument that Newcastle have gained some sort of solidity on the road, because they've kept a clean sheet against the team who are bound for the Championship and have been for 3 months now. I think that really is grasping at straws.
Well, you did talk about context a bit earlier on, and I think that is fair enough, because you know Eddie Howe will always say that he only thinks about games in isolation. That is impossible to do when you have the kind of schedule that Newcastle do have at the minute. And yeah, I mean, going to Wolves, who are bottom of the table with only 7 points before the match, always felt big, and you know, it felt big in its own right, but it also felt bigger knowing that those games against Aston Villa and then Liverpool are coming up in the league. Now, a win would have taken Newcastle to a point behind fourth place, and they could legitimately be saying that they were challenging for the Champions League places again. But this draw leaves them eight, which, you know, I think I would argue is probably far more reflective of their season and their struggles so far. And the problem is that you would, without being doom and gloom, you would think that that position is going to be challenged again by virtue of who they're playing next.
Yes, I just want to apologise for the sights and sounds of Wolverhampton Station, if you can hear them in the background. It's just an interesting place, put it that way. But yeah, it's good. you do fear for where they may find themselves after this mini run of fixtures. They have so many, they have still all four competitions to focus on, even if they're in a difficult position in the Carabao Cup, and they've got a very difficult away tie in the FA Cup. They've got a good chance of going through in the Champions League, so they're going to have to switch some focus to that. But they have some very difficult Premier League fixtures in between all of that. And suddenly, Villa at home next weekend and Brentford at home in a couple of weeks, because of Newcastle's away form and because of the trips they have to go on, it's again heaping extra pressure on that home form. The more that Newcastle struggle away from home, the more reliant they are on having to get points at St James's Park, and they've done very well to continuously do that throughout this season. But at some point, they may well come up stuck. They nearly did against Leeds. And Villa are a very good side in very, very good form. And yeah, they'll have a Europa League tie this week, but they're not going to have exerted themselves to the same extent maybe Newcastle will against a good PSV side who are in form. So yeah, I just think it's the knock-on effect that this result can have, and it doesn't give them momentum. It gives them, it just adds to the worry and concern and pressure on every game to come. Sorry, I'm walking up steps and I'm very much losing my breath.
A breathless Chris Woff. Yeah, we talked about January as being moving month, and so far I would say it feels like they've kind of moved sideways. There's been a bit of progress in the league, albeit that's been halted today. Obviously, the League Cup feels like a difficult situation for them now. 2-0 down to Man City at half time in that semi-final, and yeah, having kind of got through in the FA Cup to only be presented with a fixture against Aston Villa in the next round. You know, it still feels like this is a season where we're not sort of understanding what kind of team Newcastle are, apart from in transition. They're bitty, they're patchwork, they're good enough, you know, to win a couple of games. They're good enough to sort of have control of a sort, but not to do much with it. They can attack on the break, they're fast, they're quick, they can look good in flashes. They're not putting in 90-minute performances, albeit I don't know how much of a thing that actually is in the Premier League. And yeah, more questions than answers, it feels to me.
Yes, and they're rarely convinced, and I think that's part of the issue as well, is that even when they do win, there have been very few occasions where you've looked at it. There's been the odd exception, Everton away, USG away in the Champions League, but generally every game is a slog, as we've mentioned before, and that was definitely a slog of a match. Howe, just on transfers, Howe was asked afterwards about whether, beyond targeting a defender, whether they could bring in an attacking player or a midfielder of some description. He basically suggested that they don't have the financial capacity to do that in a PSR situation. So in that make of that, what you will, is that him inadvertently confirming they are going to sign a defender. He didn't say that explicitly, but there's at least an implication there that they are trying to do something. But the likelihood is they can't do loads, and it won't be multiple signings.
Fair play to Kieran Trippier, by the way, who played on after taking really, really nasty cut to the head. A lot of blood pouring out of that wound, but carried on.
Colgan have carried on. Would you have gone for the full sort of?
No, come straight off. I mean, I'd have reached. I'd have seen blood, and then smelling salts would have come out, and I'd have fainted.
I thought you'd have gone for the full head bandage, maybe.
Yeah, maybe I'd have looked quite good. Maybe I'd have looked quite good like that. Right. Okay. Well, it was Direwolves. Direwolves. You get yourself home. Well done. You've taken one for the team. If I sound slightly euphoric, it's only because you're there and I'm not. But yeah, we've both had our moments of strife and stress and difficulty and slog this season. I'm sure there's going to be more to come.
Yeah, the only positive I can take from that is that before the game, I had said to our editor for the day, Alex Brody, I'd basically played down expectations to such a degree that he even maybe was even slightly impressed by that game in general, because I said about how dire Newcastle Wolves generally is. Actually, weirdly, this is the first time the two sides have met at Molineux in the Premier League era, and both of them have scored in all 10 previous games. It was like a record up until that point, despite all my memories of Molineux being terrible matches. But I think this one just about tops it off. Not necessarily maybe in terms of miserable nature. I know you were the one pre-takeover which probably topped it for miserable nature, but just as a game in general, this has to be the worst.
Well, 0-0 at least makes a change from 1-1, that's all I'd say.
Yeah, maybe.
Get home safe, Bonnie lad.
So, a clean sheet for the Magpies, but Newcastle unable to break down Wolves and take 3 points. We'll be back with a Champions League match day episode for PSV at home, and more shenanigans in our weekly show the following day, featuring a chat with our current Academy Director. Lots more Pod on the Tyne available to subscribers as well if you visit podonthetyne.supportandcast.fm. Choose to listen ad-free or pay a little bit more for a weekly bonus show, including Q&As, special one-off documentaries and extra match day episodes. Thanks to George and Chris for their contributions, and thanks again for listening from everyone at Pod on the Time. Goodbye.
Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.